WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, January 2, 2017, so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a sizzling hot show in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will preview tonight's Michigan State and Purdue matchup tonight at the Breslin Center. Michigan State trying to snap a two-game losing streak, and get this, you can be in the house to witness that matchup tonight, as we will be giving away a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and Boilermakers. Find out how you can win in just a second. We will also talk a bit about the Detroit Pistons, who seem to be on a roll entering last night's home matchup against the Sacramento Kings, but the Kings came to town and spoiled that party. We'll tell you how. And also later on this hour, we will talk about Michigan football recruiting and a pretty cool trip for Jim Harbaugh and his program heading to Rome. I kid you not, folks. I kid you not. Very cool stuff there. And we'll even chat a bit about the Michigan State women's basketball team. Take your calls. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So as you see, so much to get to, so little time. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. The Michigan State men's basketball team will be trying to break a two-game skid tonight, hosting the Purdue Boilermakers at the Breslin Center. Michigan State is 12-8 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten, and unranked. Purdue 16-4, 5-2 in the conference, ranked 20th this week in both the USA Today coaches poll and the Associated Press poll. Now, in the Spartans' four Big Ten victories, a road game at Minnesota included, Michigan State has held opponents to 37% shooting. In its three losses, opponents are shooting 47% from the floor. All three games between the Spartans and Boilermakers over the last two seasons have been decided by 6 points or less. Tip time set for 7 p.m. tonight. You can watch that matchup on ESPN2. And again, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's game in just a minute. Find out how you can win. Don't go anywhere. All right, freshman Dennis Smith Jr. scored a season-high 32 points to help North Carolina State rally from 12 down late in the first half and stun number 17 Duke 84-82 on Monday night. Abdul Malik Abu added 19 points for the Wolfpack, which sit at 14-7 overall, 3-5 in ACC play. Also, the Wolfpack earned the program's first win at Duke's famously hostile Cameron Indoor Stadium since 1995. NC State ran off a 20-5 run to erase a 68-59 deficit in the final 6.5 minutes, then got one final stop when Jason Tatum lost control of the ball before getting a shot off on Duke's final possession. Now, NC State shot 55% at the half, with Smith finishing 10 for 18 from the floor. He also had 6 assists. Michigan corner Jeremy Clark reportedly has been denied a 6th season of eligibility and will report now to the NFL. That's right, he will explore his NFL options, folks. Clark, if you remember, suffered a torn ACL tear during Michigan's 49-10 win over Penn State on September 24th and missed the remainder of the season. Coach Jim Harbaugh had said the program was looking to get Clark a 6-year of eligibility. Well, that is now kaput. Clark started Michigan's first three games of the 2016 season, replacing Jordan Lewis, who was bothered by a knee injury. And speaking of the Michigan football program, the University of Michigan football program announced on Monday a special educational and football experience for its student athletes, with a week of learning and spring practice in none other than Rome. Yeah, Rome. How cool is that trip, right? Michigan football will travel to Rome, Italy, after finals toward the end of the winter semester in April for an extraordinary life experience during the spring practice season. The players and staff will use three of the allotted 15 spring football practices in Rome, training at AS Roma, which is the professional Italian football, or I should say football, soccer club in the city. Does that name ring a bell at all, Isaac? Roma, AS Roma?
Yeah, Roma is a big squad in Italy.
Soccer just goes in one ear and out the other when it comes to me. Football. During the trip to Rome, the Wolverines will be immersed in the culture of Italy. That should be a very cool trip. I would just go for the food. My goodness. All right. The three-game win streak of the Detroit Pistons was snapped last night at home against the Sacramento Kings. 109-104, the final of that one. DeMarcus Cousins, that's right, Boogie. He boogied on down last night. 22 points, 14 boards for the Kings. Andre Drummond had 14 points, 12 boards for the Pistons. A routine double-double for him. Detroit guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, otherwise known as KCP. He returned after missing four games with a left rotator cuff injury. He scored 14 points, but went only 4 of 14 from the field. The Pistons will visit the Miami Heat on Saturday night after a four-day layoff. The Detroit Red Wings look to snap a two-game losing streak tonight when they hit the road to play the Boston Bruins at 7 p.m. The Wings, 20-19-8, sitting at sixth place in the Atlantic Division, and Boston Bruins, yeah, they are 23-21-6, fourth in the Atlantic. They will go head-to-head. Should be a good matchup. But the Wings will be a bit short-handed tonight. Thomas Vanek and Dylan Larkin will be out for tonight's game. Larkin will also miss Thursday's game against Toronto. The Wings are still hopeful that Vanek can go Thursday. All right, folks, Detroit Lions cheerleader tryouts. That's right. The organization announced this week that auditions for next season's cheerleading team will begin with a pair of pre-audition clinics, which will take place on February 16th and also March 1st. Candidates can register for one or both of the clinics at DetroitLions.com/cheerleaders. Both sessions, designed to give participants a chance to learn the audition choreography, will run from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at a site to be disclosed after signing up. The cost is $25 for one session or $40 for both. The actual audition will take place on March 11th, beginning at 8 a.m. at Ford Field, and registration will cost $30. So any young woman out there looking to audition as a Detroit Lions cheerleader can go about doing that again at DetroitLions.com/cheerleaders. And last, but thank goodness least, Johnny Manziel deleted his Twitter account on Monday shortly after he tweeted advice to President Donald Trump on using the social media platform. This is what Manziel tweeted on Monday afternoon. Quote, "Yo, POTUS, even I know to stay away from the notification section on Twitter. Bleep will drive you crazy. Lead the country and let them hate. Control what you can't control and let the rest fall by the wayside." End quote. Yeah, that's what Johnny Football had to say concerning advice to President Trump. The tweets quickly went viral, as you can imagine, and even got a stamp of approval from former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer. Manziel's Instagram and Snapchat accounts, though, are both still active. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
Do you think Davis being out could have subconsciously affected the intensity of you guys coming in at all?
Well, we had a game plan as if he was playing this morning and didn't know that he wasn't playing until 30 minutes on the clock, so we had to switch our whole game plan, which kind of, you know, was just tough, you know, an adjustment period, but we still have to, you know, be better than that. 43 is, you know, I'm not complaining, but, you know, right now we're just trying to get out of the hole, you know, and, you know, coach will figure it out, and, you know, and we got to figure it out as far as minutes, too, but we're just going to be better as a team. It's not about how many minutes I'm playing right now or, you know, being fresh down the stretch. We got to be good right now, and we're not right now. At the end of the day, we always know, no matter who we're going against, no matter the record, teams are going to play better against us. It's just, especially on the road, you know, the crowd is going to be excited. You know, it's going to be sold out for most of the games. You know, they're going to feed off their crowd. And, you know, Drew, you know, being a, you know, really, really solid, you know, point guard in his league, had a hell of a game. It's for and Terrence Jones, but their bench came in and gave him a spark. I don't remember last time I seen Monta Ewens on the court, to be honest. Man, he came in and gave him a spark. So those guys just stay ready.
When we talked this morning, you said you didn't feel like you lost 4-6. Tonight, the tone seemed a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we lost 5-7 now.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Again, I want to let it be known that our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. Want to start the show by talking a little bit of NBA basketball. It's not often I get the chance to do that, but you know, last night, not much happening when it comes to local sporting action. No Michigan State basketball teams in action. High school is not playing. But hey, the Detroit Pistons were in action. And before I dive into a discussion on the Pistons losing to the lowly Sacramento Kings, I want to first acknowledge the New Orleans Pelicans. That team has a dear place in the heart of the Current Sports Radio show for one reason. That is because our engineer, Isaac Constance, is from the NO, and he is a diehard Pelicans fan. So those who are watching via Facebook.com/Current Sports and also on our Instagram live feed, you guys see I'm rocking a nice lid right now. That lid dons the logo, which I think is a pretty fly logo, I must say. The only reason I bought the hat, because I'm not a fan of the Pelicans, but I think it's a pretty dope logo, of the New Orleans Pelicans. Rocking the Pelicans hat today. So in honor of that win, the Pelicans beating LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers last night, Isaac, I thought I'd pay homage to your team. Good win. Good dub. You text me after that game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was a great win. Terrence Jones went off career highs in terms of his production. He had 36 points, 10 rebounds. Drew Holiday also put up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And like I said, the Pelicans overcame tremendous odds without Anthony Davis, maybe the most important player for a team in the NBA. I'm not necessarily saying he's the best whatsoever. I am saying this team started off the season 0-8 without him. And
right.
The reason I texted you last night is because every single one of those first 8 games, I got a text afterwards. Well, not every single one, but maybe after
a lot of them.
Maybe after 4 or 5, and it just kept going. My agony was prolonged, and every single time I would be like, so how about the Pelicans, huh? How about the Pelicans? So,
yeah.
It feels good to be decent, respectable in the eye of the NBA again. And another play that happened last night, Al, I don't know if you saw this, but Deion Waiters
showing
out against the Golden State Warriors, the Miami Heat toppling them. And Kevin Durant had a great comment after the game saying that it sucks when you lose like that, but if you do lose, you want to be to your little brother, referencing Waiters' time in Oklahoma City. So actually a nice moment there, and all the top dogs falling.
Yeah, how about that, right? And speaking of the best, you mentioned the best, right? And who I believe, and
I think what most of the basketball world believes this as well, to be the best player in the world right now, LeBron James. LeBron James is a compelling figure, I must say. You know, LeBron, without a doubt, hands down, the best basketball player on planet Earth right now. All right? You can make an argument for other names such as Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. I mean, they're certainly in the hat. But right now, when it comes to all-around play, you can't find anybody better than LeBron James, in my opinion at least. And I think, again, I think that's the general consensus of the majority of the basketball world. You know, LeBron is a compelling figure for multiple reasons. Not only is he the best on the planet, and not only is he just now coming off an NBA championship where he led his team after being down 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors, one of the best finals matchups I've ever seen in my life, right? But, you know, every once in a while, LeBron will say something that just puzzles me in a post-game press conference. The Cavaliers have not had the best start to the 2017 campaign. The Cavs actually are 5-6 in the new year after last night's just mind-blowing, stunning road loss to the Anthony Davis-less New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, you look at how things have panned out and shaped out for this team. Now, again, we're talking about, you know, just what? 11 games here, right? But still, not a great start to 2017. And after the Cavs traded for Kyle Korver earlier this month, LeBron James, he puzzled me a bit. Well, what he had to say. You know, he made it known that the team still needs a backup point guard / playmaker added to the mix. And he made that request known, or made that request even louder after last night's loss. Now, this is an article coming from Dave McMenamin of ESPN.com. And I just want to read this quote from LeBron James, in which he told a small group of beat reporters who travel regularly to cover Cleveland's road games. Quote, "I just hope that we are not satisfied as an organization. I just hope we're not satisfied. We're not better than last year from a personal standpoint." I totally agree with that when it comes to LeBron, and I think that's evident when evaluating the stretch of basketball for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. He goes on to say this: "It's great to have bodies. Obviously, in the playoffs, you go down to, what, 8 max? And if somebody gets in foul trouble, you go to 9. You're not playing back-to-backs. You have 2 days in between. You're able to lock in." That's in reference to LeBron James playing the amount of minutes he's played. Heck, we saw him last weekend on the first game of ABC's Saturday night primetime NBA matchups between the Cavaliers and the Spurs. A thrilling game. Kawhi Leonard and LeBron going at it. A game that actually went to overtime, if I'm not mistaken, right? Fun game to watch. Fun game to watch. LeBron James logged a ton of minutes, looked very tired down the stretch of that game. I get it. But, you know, he went on to reiterate to this small group of reporters, quote, "We need a bleeping playmaker. I'm not saying you can just go find one, like you can go outside and see trees. I didn't say that, but we need a blanking playmaker," end quote. You know, Isaac, When diving into that quote, because that's the quote I just briefly want to harp on before we move along and talk about the Pistons here. I don't know. At first, when I heard the quote, I didn't know why LeBron was making the statement. But you know what? I sat back and said to myself, you know, it sounds like LeBron is campaigning for somebody to come to the team. And the only name that would make sense, especially in today's NBA world where you have superstars linking up and forming super teams, i.e. the Golden State Warriors, right? The only name that could really come to mind, well, I should say at the top of that conversation, was Carmelo Anthony, who is making a strong campaign, I believe, for other teams out there when evaluating what he's done in his most recent stretch of basketball, I could say. But LeBron James is letting it be known, and I do agree with him here, that right now this team obviously can't compete with the Golden State Warriors. Now, take that statement with a grain of salt because we are talking about the NBA regular season. And that's what I was compelled to text you back last night, Isaac, when you said, hey, good win over the Cavs, right? I mean, it's always in my mind that, hey, it's the NBA regular season at the end of the day, right? Teams take games off. The effort isn't there. It's not like the – don't get me wrong. NBA playoff basketball is the creme de la creme. And in comparison to the NBA regular season, it can be a bit diluted. And I do think the product is a bit diluted right now. But I will say with this statement – LeBron James seems to be campaigning for a big name to join the Cleveland Cavaliers roster. And looking at how Cleveland has had a bad stretch of basketball against some of the NBA's elite, again, 5-6 this year alone, I'm wondering what type of move will be made because I do think a move will be made, Isaac.
Well, I take issue with this statement as well, but actually for an entirely different reason. For one, I think that actually, most of the games right now are being played with a fair amount of vigor from all of the sides just because they know the All-Star break is right around the corner. They've got time to rest. So last night, Cavaliers actually only played about 9 players. They played their stars. Kyrie Irving, 49 points. Goodness gracious, he was outstanding. LeBron James also had a triple-double. I don't think LeBron is trying to go out and as much against this his character this is, I don't think he's trying to fetch another superstar. I actually don't. What I think he's campaigning for is a slasher, a guy off the bench who can regularly come in and contribute points. You look at that bench right now, they've got Richard Jefferson, savvy veteran, good player. Channing Frye, somebody who stands in the corner, knocks down a couple of threes, and is tall. Then they've got, at the backup point guard position, Khalil Felder, favorite of Michigan. Besides that, Iman Shumpert, a little bit of defense there. They don't have a point score off the bench, and that's where I think the problem lies. I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland goes out, tries to make a move for somebody like Lou Williams, actually, of the Lakers, who I think is in the race, even though he won't win it, of sixth man of the year. I think somebody like that would be appealing for this team. I think moves do need to be made, but the reason I take issue with this statement is, go say it to your GM, dude. I mean, seriously, go say that to your GM. I agree that he's campaigning. He's pandering to the public. He's looking for all the LeBron James bandwagon fans to hop on and say, yeah, Cavs GM, you're stupid. Go make a move. Go make a move.
You do not air this out in the public.
Keep it in-house. That's
simple. I agree.
Simple.
That's where I was going next. You do not put that comment out in the press for everybody to talk about and to cause unwanted attention or a quote-unquote sideshow when your team is trying to get back on track. It creates an unwarranted distraction. And if I'm the upper echelons of the Cavs, I would be a bit upset at these statements, point blank period. And, you know, and I think a lot of this has to do with, you know, LeBron wants to win. You know, and I know it gets to him when he hears all the talk and all the hoopla about the Golden State Warriors. I mean, heck, the Warriors are still getting more attention. And the Cavaliers are the defending NBA champions. I'm sure that gets under his skin. I mean, heck, we're the champions, let alone the Golden State Warriors are being talked about in every headline. They're on national TV every single night. That has got to be frustrating, and it has to irk you a bit. And the thing is, I think these final comments I'm going to read here really put that in perspective. Also coupled with the fact that LeBron James is playing a ridiculous amount of minutes right now. I mean, the man can only do so much. He's a great player. He's a great talent. But my gosh, when you talk about, you know, 40 minutes, 35 minutes, you know, every single night, that wears on your body. LeBron went on to say this, quote, I don't know what we got to offer. I just know me personally. I don't got no time to waste. I'll be 33 in the winter. I ain't got no time to waste. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, when I feel like physically and mentally, me personally, I can't compete for a championship no more, or I feel like I can't do it, then I won't have this problem. But until that happens, and it don't seem like no time soon. Then LeBron went on to trail off with that comment. But, you know, when you hear that comment, he's trying to win, and he's trying to win now. And he knows that he isn't getting any younger, It's about winning championships right now and doing whatever it takes in order to do that. Again, he's brushing off the notion that, hey, you know, yeah, I'm playing a lot of minutes, but at the same time, you know, we need to make a move here. He's kind of like, you know, he's acknowledging it, but not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is a problem, but I ain't complaining, when he really is complaining when making that statement. You get where I'm going with that?
And let's clarify one thing, Al. I mean, neither you and I are LeBron James bandwagoners. I like him. You don't quite as
much. No, I'm not a big fan of him,
no. Neither of us are necessarily attacking this guy necessarily or fawning over him. This is a basketball player who is chasing a ghost, as he described it. And I agree with him. I think that's all this is about. He's in for legacy right now, and you can't blame him for it.
You hear the phone lines in the background, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call to be a part of today's show. And you know what? I do believe we are giving away a pair of tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans play host to the Purdue Boilermakers. And you know what? Why not? I'm going to open up the phone lines right now, and I'm not going to make it easy on you guys, because I feel like the last few times I've just opened them up and said, hey, caller number three, the tickets are yours, and you guys have just blown us up, right? But I really want to make you earn them here. And I'm going to have, if you want the tickets, I'm gonna have you call in. And I'm going to, you know, what I'm going to do is give you guys a trivia question, all right? And if you nail the trivia question, the tickets are yours. So I'm going to put Isaac, who's behind the glass, to work right now. And the trivia question is, which Michigan State basketball player is shooting the highest percentage from the three-point line this season? Again, that question is, which Michigan State basketball player is shooting the highest percentage from the three-point line this season so far? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And a big shout-out to Grant. This is Grant's actually first day helping us out here on Current Sports Radio. He is one of the new faces of the new batch of production assistants we bring in each and every semester, courtesy of Journalism 418 here at the Communication Arts and Sciences College at Michigan State University. Grant doing a great job already, off to a good start. I really like that trivia question. So, you know, we're going to hit the first break, Isaac. We'll come back. I see it. Thomas from Lansing is on line one. Let's see if Thomas can nail this question, all right? When we come back, we'll talk Pistons, we'll talk Michigan State men's basketball, and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Right now, we are going to try to give away a pair of tickets to check out Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team as they will play host to the Purdue Boilermakers tonight, 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Should be a very entertaining game. Purdue sitting at 16-4, 5-2 in the Big Ten. They look really, really good right now. Caleb Swanigan, second in the Big Ten in scoring at 18.5 points per game, and first in rebounding, averaging a little over 12 rebounds per game. Impressive stuff. Caleb Swanigan could have been donning the green and white. I remember that whole fiasco. Yeah, I'm coming to Michigan State. Ah, never mind. Purdue, here I come.
Well, and Spartan fans are regretting it right now. Let's not make any mistakes about that.
Without a doubt, the kid is very talented. So let's give away the tickets first before we dive into a brief preview here. Right now, on line one, we have Thomas from Lansing that wants to take a stab at today's trivia question. First off, Thomas, how you doing? And thanks for listening, my friend.
I am doing well, as usual, enjoying your show.
Oh, thank you so much, Thomas. We appreciate it. So you ready to answer this thing?
Yeah, I can't believe you're going to make me work for this, man. I just want you to be able to get the tickets and go see a great game tonight. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I have to. You know, I made it easy the last five times, Thomas. So, you know, I just woke up saying, you know what? I'm going to make our listeners earn this one, all right? It's an easy one, though. I think this is a kind of a chip shot. Let's see, okay?
I don't know. We're going to see.
All right, Thomas, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Which Michigan State basketball player is shooting the highest percentage from the three-point line this season? Go ahead.
Okay, I got two choices.
Okay, we only two choices. All right,
I only want one. I'm going to go with Alvin Ellis.
Oh, Thomas, it is not Alvin Ellis. I'm just curious. What was your second choice?
Matt McQuaid.
No, see, this is a kind of a tricky one. And Grant, courtesy of our PA Grant, this was a tricky one because when he told me the answer, I was a bit shocked at it. I tell you what, Thomas, hit up Google real quick. Hit up Google and call back, all right? We may give you another shot if we don't have any other callers, all right?
All right, we'll do the post.
Thomas, thank you so much, my friend. Oh, I hate doing that.
It's actually a difficult question.
It is a tough one.
When I saw it, I was not aghast, but I was pretty shocked as well. It's not somebody who's right off the top of the head.
No, not at all. I mean, when Grant told me, I did a double take, like, oh, really? I didn't know that. So, again, right now, here on January 24th, which Michigan State, because I'm pretty sure at one point Matt McQuaid was leading the team in three-point percentage. All right, I think, I've said this multiple times, I think that he is the purest three-point shooter on the team. Again, which Michigan State men's basketball player right now is shooting the highest percentage from the three-point line this season? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you nail it, the tickets are yours, all right? I believe we have a caller right now, I think. Isaac, is that right? I think we do. In the meantime, what I want to do is this. I want to play a brief snippet of what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the team's struggles this season. Again, the Michigan State men's basketball team is trying to snap a losing streak here. Here's what Tom had to say during his afternoon press conference yesterday at the Breslin.
You know, yeah, I mean, I guess everything. Because, you know, I don't think I've been through that. But then Miles has just come back too, you know, so that's another whole change. So there's not just one thing. There's been so many different things that what I appreciate is, especially in those freshmen, most of them are working really hard. Some of them have to learn how to work harder. But all of them care. I got no issues. I had no off-the-court issues. You know, I gingerly joked, and I don't even want to say it, but, you know, is it easier when there are some issues, you know? But I don't know. You know, what I expected was not a lot different than we got. I just expected a little more consistency by now, but we just got one of our best players back a couple weeks ago, and so everybody's learning how to play with everybody all over again. And 6 weeks is just long enough, 5.5 weeks to go one way or another. So, you know, it's new territory for them, a little bit new territory for me. And I always told you that, experience is the best way to learn how to do things is when you have some experience. Well, I probably haven't done a great job with them because I haven't had experience in this area either. But not many people have. It's just one of those things this year. I mean, if Gavin and Ben are here, there's at least some experienced guys to lean on. You know, this was a unique situation. So we're getting through it. We're getting through it. We played, you know, I don't know how poorly we played. We had 13 turnovers or 12 turnovers in that game. We out-rebounded them, you know. They made some shots. We made some poor plays in that first half. They made some shots. Second half, we played pretty well in a lot of different areas. You know, that's a pretty good team. You know, Indiana's a very good team. And this team right now, Purdue, is playing better than Indiana was. But I think we're going to be a better team every day we come out, too. I really do. And we're going to have to get a lot better in these 2 days. Started out yesterday. We'll do it again today.
Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, addressing his team's struggles so far this season. This is a telling week for where this program is, Isaac, seeing as though you welcome a Purdue squad that I do believe will finish among the top tier in the Big Ten Conference. Caleb Swanigan, who I mentioned, is having a stout year thus far. And that's the big problem that we've talked about many times for this team this season, lack of size. Ben Carter and Gavin Schilling getting hurt before the season has certainly not helped in that endeavor, right? So now you welcome Caleb Swanigan, who's leading the Big Ten in rebounding. He's a scoring juggernaut. He's gotten better defensively from where he was last year. It's going to be a tall order for this team. You welcome Purdue tonight. Then you welcome Michigan on Sunday. I stated on yesterday's show, I believe Michigan State men's basketball will split both of these games because I think they'll beat Michigan on Sunday, but it's going to be a very tall order for Purdue tonight. The Boilermakers, man, I mean, they lead the Big Ten in scoring, in scoring margin, I should say, at 17.1, three-point percentage, and assists per game. Averaging 19.3 assists per game, shooting a little over 40% from the three-point line, second in scoring, third in rebounding margin. The numbers are stacked against the Spartans tonight. I would just be impressed if MSU can hang tight in this game.
Yeah, put it this way. For the sake of whoever wins these tickets, I'm hoping that the game is within 10 because I'm not necessarily optimistic about that. I think Purdue is not only the far better team at this point in the season, but, boy, if they could have handpicked a matchup from across the NCAA, you would pick the team with two injured centers who plays a natural three as a four and even sometimes a five. Mm-hmm. You would pick MSU at the end of the day. And Caleb Swanigan, 12.5 rebounds a game in college, that's inane. That's unheard of. Right. I mean, that is absolutely dominant. Isaac Haas, he might have been inexperienced last year. He's got his feet under him. He knows how to swim in the Big Ten now. And then, shooting outside, here's a hint. Dakota Mathias, best outside threat from the perimeter for them, 47.3% on the season. That's about 5 percentage points. Hint, hint, hint. Better than the MSU's best three-point shooter.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Haas. 7'2". They have to go against a 7'2" guy who's playing great. Haas is averaging 13.6 points per game, plays about 21 minutes a night. And then Swanigan, who I mentioned, 6'9". I mean, wide body girth down low. That is going to be very, very tough. And you're looking at a complete team in Purdue. This is a team that not only has the size, but they have great play. You mentioned Dakota, who's shooting 47% right now from three-point line. Vince Edwards shooting over 40% as well at 44%. Ryan Klein at 42.4%. And they share the ball well. That's the thing here. They've got guys who can put it in the net, but they share the ball. They're so unselfish. This is a complete team. And looking at the glass half full here, this will be a good litmus test to see exactly how far this Michigan State men's basketball team is from turning some sort of corner here. Who knows what that turning point will symbolize. But we'll see just how far this team is from legitimately competing with some of the upper echelons in the Big Ten Conference. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. So, again, we're giving away a pair of tickets here. Let's do this because we have three on the line right now, and Thomas has called back. The thing is, Thomas, you know, with him getting the trivia question wrong, he's at the bottom of the pecking order now. So I see we have Julie, who's a dear friend of the show. Shout out to Julie. She's on line two. On line one, though, first in the order is actually Bob from Lansing, who wants to take a stab at today's trivia question. First off, Bob, how you doing, my friend? And thanks for listening.
Al, I really like your show. I listen to it often. You really do a great job.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob. That means a lot. So, Bob, the trivia question is all yours, my friend.
Okay.
Which Michigan? Let me give it to you first. 1 second here. Which Michigan State men's basketball player is shooting the highest percentage from the three-point line this season? Bob, who is it?
All right. I am driving. I have no access to the internet. I just want to note that.
I love it. I'm not cheating.
I figure it's got to be somebody who's like one for one or one for two. And so that's got to be a walk-on. And the only walk-on guy's name I can come up with is, I think his name is George.
Connor George. He's going with Connor George, the local kid. Son of Kathy George, head women's volleyball coach here at Michigan State University. Bob, first off, I want to say this. Thank you so much for not Googling it, because I'm pretty sure many folks who are listening to the show and evaluating this trivia question are hitting up their smartphones or their iPads or laptops, Googling what the name or, you know, what exactly the answer to this question is. So, Bob, thank you so much for not doing that. But unfortunately, the answer is wrong.
Dang it.
I'm sorry, Bob. I'm so sorry, man. I hate doing that, brother. But thank you so much for tuning in, all right?
Keep up the great work. See ya.
You got it, Bob. All right. So, line two now. We've got Julie from Lansing. Julie, a dear friend of the show. Julie, good hearing your voice. How are you doing?
Hi, Al. I'm doing great.
Julie, it's all on you now. We've got two wrong answers. Which Michigan State basketball player is shooting the highest percentage from three-point territory? Who is it?
Joshua Langford.
Bam, bam. There it is. Julie, I have to ask, did you Google it?
I didn't Google it, but I follow my guys, and, you know, it's been an up-and-down year for the guys.
Right.
And Josh has really come on, and he's been consistent with his role, and I got my guess. I'm also driving, so.
Okay.
I'm coming back from the Coach Mox radio show, so yes.
Love it. Love it. And Julie, you are doing an outstanding job with the Michigan State women's basketball team. Always love seeing you on the sidelines.
Thank you. We leave for Wisconsin today, so I'm going to give those tickets to one of our students.
Love it. That's a good. I like the way you think with that. All right. I'm sure they'll enjoy the game tonight. All right. Julie, hang on the line. Isaac will tell you how you can pick up the tickets. You nailed it, though. Josh Langford is the answer. He is shooting 42.6%. from three-point land. Julie, thanks so much.
Ooh, thank you.
All right, folks. Well, let's hit our second break. And again, I want to give a big thanks. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Thomas. Sorry, I really was kind of hoping to get back to Thomas, give him another shot at that. Because I know he probably had the right answer after calling back. But hey, we'll be giving away another pair of tickets to Michigan State men's basketball, the Michigan State men's basketball game against Michigan this weekend. I actually already had four of our listeners, Isaac, yesterday, after yesterday's show, email me, text me, shot me a message on Facebook. I walked out on my way to the car. I looked up in the sky and I saw a smoke signal asking it, Al, are you going to give away tickets to the Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball game this weekend? Yes, that will take place on Friday. Okay, so make sure you got those phones in handy, and I'm pretty sure you'll have Google open around that time, too, right? All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll chat a bit about the Detroit Pistons. Also, speaking of the MSU women's basketball team, we'll talk about the struggles for Susie Merchant, who, of course, is on that medical leave of absence. Coach Mox, Amaka Ogugwa, doing a great job stepping into that role. They've reached a bit of a telling point here. We'll discuss that and so much more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that is on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Congratulations to Julie, a dear friend of Current Sports, who called in and won tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game against Purdue. Again, Purdue sitting at 16-4 overall, Michigan State at 12-8. And, you know, we riddled down a few of the telling numbers coming into this matchup for the Boilermakers and Spartans. And again, the cards are certainly stacked against the Spartans tonight. And, you know, a few areas I want to briefly hit on when it comes to the Michigan State men's basketball team. I will have a close eye on Matt McQuaid. Because Matt is a player who I believe is the purest shooter on the squad. But he struggled. I mean, looking at that game against Indiana, and I tweeted this out when watching the game, Matt had, I thought, two legit looks at corner threes. But, you know, he just, you know, when the pass came to him, the ball just touched his paws and flew out of bounds, leading to two turnovers. In key moments of the game where I really thought Michigan State could have rallied, Matt McQuaid is just 2 of 6 from the three in the last four games. They need him to play better. They really do. I have no quarrels when it comes to the young stud known as Miles Bridges, who has made a great return to this team after suffering an injury. 15.1 points per game, a little over 8 boards, shooting 40% from the three-point line. This team overall, though, needs to shoot better from the charity stripe. And but I really do think that when all else fails and when Michigan State is trying to search for someone to give them an offensive jolt, that player has been Miles Bridges time and time again. It's a catch-22, though, because teams are starting to hone in on Miles. He's starting to see more double teams. Teams are realizing how big of a threat Miles Bridges is, and they are honing in on him defensively, which means other guys got to step up. And another player, and I've got to throw out his name. Aaron Harris has so much potential. So much potential. And I love his game. He's got a great first step. He can take it off the dribble. He's got a great mid-range jumper. He can finish at the rim. Aaron Harris, this team is going to go as far as Aaron Harris takes them. He is the X factor. He's the engine in my mind. And he has got to step up. I'm calling Aaron Harris out because I think that he has so much potential and he's got a very high ceiling, and we have yet to see just how good he can be. So my two players to look for tonight, I think that Miles Bridges is going to handle his business. Again, you have to be also encouraged when evaluating the play of Josh Langford. He seems to be settling in game after game after game. Cassius Winston is a bit of, you know, he's a bit up and down as of right now. I do think Cassius will get it together. But Aaron Harris and Matt McQuaid, if those two can come out and give you consistent scoring tonight, they can make this a game. I still do believe that Michigan State will lose this game, no, Isaac. But if those two can ball out, maybe we'll see a surprise tonight. I'm just saying.
Well, the name I'd throw out as well is Nick Ward, a poor man's Caleb Swanigan, if you will, just because Ward's going to have to battle. Swanigan has size unlike anything that MSU has seen this season in terms of the girth. Yes, you've got taller players. But as MSU fans know very well from Ward, it's hard to stop a dude who's that strong, who can establish that position in the post, who can draw fouls, who can make the defense collapse around him. That's what Swanigan does. The only difference is Swanigan doesn't shoot about 40% from the free throw line. Swanigan hits threes. So it's going to come down to this matchup for me, as well as one other thing. The thing is, when Purdue plays Haas, who's 7'2", and Swanigan, who's 6'10", on the same court at the same time,
it's impossible to guard those two.
It's impossible to guard them.
You have to go to zone.
What you're going to have to do, though, is get a few steals and get out on the transition, because that's the only way you'll beat them, is to outrun them. MSU will not have the size. They will be out-rebounded. They will be outscored in the paint. But can they get out in transition? Can they elevate the pace to fit their style? That'll determine this game. While I say that, though, I don't think they'll be able to. I think MSU loses this. And honestly, I think they lose it by about 15.
Kenny Goins, Nick Ward, as you just mentioned, those guys are going to have to play really tough. And, yeah, you know, Izzo loves to push the ball. They have to beat them with the transition offense. I do believe that as well. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The Detroit Pistons, Isaac. You know, this is a soft spot when it comes to me because, you know, I'm a diehard Pistons fan, right? But the Pistons lost to the Sacramento Kings last night. The Pistons were on a bit of a roll. Had a three-game losing streak coming into that home matchup last night at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Kings have now only won 2 of their last 10 games. And both of those victories have come against the red, white, and royal blue. That's right, the Detroit Pistons. Oh, boy, that first off, that puts a lot of things in perspective, right? And, you know, you look at that game last night. First off, DeMarcus Cousins, who I think is, he's one of those catch-22 players as well because I love his game. You know, he led the way again for the Kings last night, 22 points, 14 boards, 6 assists. But you see some of the off-the-court antics he has and the quotes he has in press conferences. And, you know, we saw a game earlier this season where I believe he threw his mouthpiece at the bench and he got ejected. And then the refs got confused and said, no, let's bring him back and throw him back in the game. He's always popping off at the mouth left and right. But there's no denying that DeMarcus Boogie Cousins is a talent. He is certainly a talent. One of the most talented big men in the NBA. He rallied the team last night. A double-double for him. 4 assists shy from a triple-double last night. 6 Pistons in double figures, including all 5 starters, and the other guy to throw in the mix of the 6 to complete the 6 there, who scored in double digits. The other guy was Tobias Harris, who I think has had a great year for the Pistons. Pistons got out-rebounded, 51-43. And Grant did a great job compiling a lot of these statistics for us. John Luer had the highest plus-minus at +8 last night for the Pistons. I think John Luer has been an unexpected surprise, a pleasant surprise for the Pistons this season. John Luer, of course, is coming off an injury, and he's played solid. He's come in, and he's not missed a beat when evaluating the time since that injury. But, you know, the Pistons, you know, and I mentioned this on the show, how there's been rumors that the Pistons possibly would be open to a trade when it comes to Reggie Jackson and Ricky Rubio. And I put that on my Facebook page, and I got some interesting responses from many of you guys out there. Some who really like Reggie Jackson's game and really believe that letting him go would really hurt the team, when there are some of you out there who believe quite the opposite. And, you know, I look at it like this. You know, I thought, you know, when Reggie Jackson got to the team, especially last year, great move. Dynamic score. Heck, a bona fide score. That's what he does. Reggie Jackson can just simply flat out score. But that's not the problem for the Pistons here. I evaluate trades based on needs, as everyone should, right? What does this Detroit Pistons squad lack as of right now? Scoring isn't the problem. They can score with the best of them. They got scorers everywhere. But I look at it in two ways. Number one is defense for me. The Pistons just don't play defense during long stretches of the game. And number two for me is guard play when it comes to ball movement. And that is something that when you look at Reggie Jackson, and I really thought Reggie was starting to find himself as a true point guard that could balance facilitating and scoring last year. We saw a stretch of basketball last season where Reggie was fantastic in that role. Him getting injured at the very start of this year and not getting that playing time hurt him. Because when it comes to the overall chemistry of finding that balance, he was not able to find a groove in those two respects because he simply wasn't playing. That's hard to do. Ish Smith is a pass-first guard. When Ish is in there, Ish is solely first looking for guys to pass the ball to give them a good opportunity to put the ball in the basket. And what you started to see was Ish Smith actually, when he was in there, starting to find his own game. Because if there, you know, when he would throw it off to a Tobias Harris or a Marcus Morris or dump it down low to Andre Drummond, if there wasn't a shot there within 4 passes, Ish was finding his shot. And he was doing a great job at it. Reggie Jackson came back in the fold, and Reggie just tried to force the acclimation process. Throwing up way too many shots, forcing up layups, forcing up jump shots. I mean, the offense became stagnant. So when I evaluate whether or not Reggie Jackson should stay with this team or whether or not the Pistons should look for trade options here, I wouldn't be opposed to a Ricky Rubio move, Isaac, to be honest with you. I would not be opposed to that. But you know what, even more so, I would say? I wouldn't be opposed to an Andre Drummond trade right now.
Good.
Because Andre Drummond, even though he's a talented young player, he's a routine double-double, but Andre Drummond does not know what the word defense means.
Well,
he lets far too many point guards just come up in the paint, or anybody, point guards, big man, doesn't matter. He just gives up way too many points in the paint. And I really do believe that with his stamp as an all-star in the league, as one of the big names in the league, the Pistons could really get a lot out of him if they put him on the trade market.
I agree entirely. And on the note of Reggie Jackson, this is something I've been trying to convince you about for a while. I remember you and I were having this conversation last year covering the Cotton Bowl. So I'm happy you've converted to the light side. But at the same time, Andre Drummond, I also agree entirely. Put it this way, the Pistons have lost to the Kings twice in the past 10 games. In both of those games, Andre Drummond was outscored dramatically by DeMarcus Cousins. One game he had 9, the other he had 14. Bookie had 22 and 24. The Pistons lost the combined games by a combined total of 11 points. There's the difference right there. Yeah, I'm not big on any of them.
Trade them. Trade them. Trade them. Final words on today's Current Sports. We'll be back at it tomorrow afternoon, same time, same place. We'll have a full recap of tonight's Michigan State and Purdue game. Check out facebook.com/currentsports for a full report on that matchup. Be easy, people.